Jesus made a name for himself, but he did not do it for his own sake. Jesus Christ made a name for himself solely to show the true healing love of God to every person who lives in the world, regardless of ethnic or religious upbringing or status, and regardless of personal history. Jesus lived in order to honor the holy name of God. While he became exceedingly popular and he garnered a significant following, Jesus always pointed those who aligned with him to the perfect love of the Father. Jesus walked humbly on the earth in order to demonstrate to the world the care, the concern, and the love for humanity that emanates perfectly from the true God of heaven. Finally, ultimately, for the purpose of saving humankind, Jesus walked willingly to his execution on a cross. We need only to look at the life, ministry, and death of Jesus Christ to see a superlative model of biblical humility. And in his final act of humility, Jesus, the one through whom all things were created, also created the opportunity for human beings who come to him in faith to be a part of his body. This morning, we're just going to walk through some of Paul's words about Christ and the body, and maybe see some things that emerge out of Paul's language. And so, Paul writes to the church in Colossae, "From the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And now Paul turns to talking about the Son. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven, on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything, Paul writes, he, Christ, might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." You already know this, I think, but I'll say it anyway. If you are in Christ, if we are in Christ, we are delivered from darkness. Don't you love the way that Paul lays that out? And certainly Paul had experience in his own life as well with darkness. But he took us from darkness, and he transferred us, Paul's word, into the kingdom of his Son. If we're in Christ, we're redeemed through blood. We are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And in that sacrifice, Jesus established his rightful rule. Paul says he's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. But he's the creator and sustainer of all things. That he is the head of the body, which is the church. That means Jesus Christ is the authority. That means Jesus Christ is the source of our life. That means that Jesus Christ, as Nate read for us just a moment ago, Jesus Christ is the very seat of unity and the fullness of God dwells in him, the fullness of which we cannot as mortals fully comprehend. And Paul's very clear to say in all these words that the headship of Christ is cruciform. It's cross-shaped. You know, the church flourishes when it's connected to the head. Individuals flourish when we are joined to the head. When we're joined to the head of Jesus, who is Jesus Christ, we experience a spiritual fertility, you might call it. We blossom, we grow, our gifts develop, people are blessed, people are honored, and God is glorified. Ephesians 1, remember I said this is all Paul, right? All Paul. For this reason, we read this just a few weeks, maybe a month ago together. Because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, Paul and his superlatives, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ. When did he do that exactly, Paul? Well, Paul says that he worked that in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Did you hear those really deep, precious words that Paul used? He talked about hope. Jess gonna start teaching on hope starting in March. But he talked about hope, the hope of our calling in Jesus Christ. He wrote about the riches of the inheritance that we are receiving and will one day finally receive through Jesus Christ. Paul wrote about the inestimable magnitude of his power. And did you notice? I guess it's a preposition, right? Did you notice the prepositional phrase? The inestimable magnitude of his power toward us. He writes about the might of God manifesting itself in the resurrection of the crucified Son. He writes about the supremacy of the lordship of Jesus Christ. Christ, that God placed all things under Jesus' feet, that God has given Jesus as a gift to be head of the church. And then Paul tells us again what the church is. The church is his body. And it was the sacrifice, by the way, that led to supremacy. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. What kind of language is that? You can describe it in one word. You can talk. It's okay. Well, it is romantic. Okay. Not the word I was looking for. It's unity language. Did you hear it? It's unity language. I'll read it again. If there's any encouragement in Christ, which there is, if there's any comfort from love, which there certainly is, or any participation in the Spirit, which is immersed believers, yes, we participate in the Spirit because it lives in us. If there's any affection and sympathy, which certainly there is, he says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. That's disunity behavior, by the way. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. If you've ever read this before, you know Paul's setting something up here, isn't he? Have this mind among yourselves. And this next clause is one of the most profound statements, I believe, in all of Scripture. Have this mind in yourself, among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. By taking the form of a servant, by being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, submitting to God to enter that fleshly life, being found in human form, what Jesus Christ did was humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him. And God has bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Of God the Father. The body has access to the mind of the head. That's a lot to take in, isn't it? Now, when we think about it with a physical body, it's a little easier to contemplate and meditate on. But we're not talking about physical bodies here. The body of Christ, Paul says, has access to the mind of Christ. That's heavy, Ben. It's a lot. Think about what Paul said, that Jesus was God. Although in the form of God, did not consider equality with God. That's an important phrase. Do not consider equality with God something to grasp. I think your NIVs out there say something to cling to, something to hold on to. Paul tells us as well that this one who was equal with God, who submitted to God, who took on flesh, he became a slave. He became a slave. And he submitted himself all the way to the cross. All the way. Paul says Jesus did not, in his humility, he did not grasp for power. Jesus did not, as we might say in our world today, he did not assert privilege. If you look up that word where it says he emptied himself, that word refers to a divestiture of position or prestige. It's a basic definition. So what Jesus did was Jesus deprived himself of things that were his right. Jesus literally, what's working behind that word is Jesus literally bankrupted himself so that he could become like us and become a servant, a slave. And then Jesus gave his life. And in so doing, God raised him above everything. You notice how Paul says, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. You know why he phrases it that way? Because that's all the stuff he could think of. You know, sometimes you experience something or you see something that's so incredible or dramatic or moving or whatever that you just can't come up with the words to describe it. Paul's got a lot of words, but I think that's where he is right there. All he can think of is heaven, earth, and whatever's under there. God raised him above, Paul says, everything. And don't miss the fact, the biblical truth, that the cross came before the crown. Back to Colossians. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith just as you were taught. And along the way, Paul says, abounding in thanksgiving. That permeates everything in the life of a Christian person. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Paul is addressing a particular issue in Colossae, but I think that speaks to us today too. For in him dwells the whole fullness of the deity, bodily. And you've been filled with him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him you are also circumcised with a circumcision not made by hands. By putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith, in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, Paul gets a little historical here about us and surely about himself. And you who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive. God made alive together with him, with Christ, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities, and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So Paul says effectively the same thing he's already said a few times, but he brings it down to a practical level there at the beginning. Did you hear that part? He says, you've received this Jesus Christ that I'm about to talk about again in a minute, by the way. For I talked about him and his greatness and his perfection and his obedience, his submission, his servant nature, his willingness to do what he did for people who are hostile to him even, for people who don't even believe he existed even. So Paul says, thinking about that Jesus Christ in whom you've been immersed, he simply says, walk in him. He says, be rooted. Be established in your faith. Be built up in your faith, because you see, this Christ who is the head of this body, he in him dwells all the fullness of God bodily. It's all in there, Paul says. And Paul says also that only in Christ can we ever be complete. Only in the head can we ever be what God intends us to be. As Paul talks about Jesus being the head over every power, as he reminds the Christians in Colossae and the Christians in Hiram of our immersion in Christ, being buried in him through faith, being raised through faith as well, being made alive when we were dead before, being made alive in that same head, in that beautiful phrasing, that beautiful language where Paul says that the record of debt, your sins and mine, were nailed to the cross with Jesus. And my favorite part, I think, is where Paul says that when Jesus did this, it disarmed the enemy. It disarmed rulers. It disarmed authorities. That's a broad word. I think that's physical and spiritual. And that was a public triumph. You notice he said he put him in open shame. This didn't happen behind closed doors. This was no huge secret, but it was a public victory. So if you've heard anything this morning, I hope you've heard that this head of the body, this Son of God, this incarnate Jesus Christ, that head was hung on nails. We know this, right? Anybody in here never heard this before? Don't raise your hand. You have now. But it should be the thing that drives us every single day of our lives to gratitude, to thankfulness, to joy, to be involved in blessing others in the world, because we have been so, in Paul's words, richly blessed. So every day, we take a moment, as Thad led us earlier so well, we take a moment to think about the fact that the head of the church, the one who is over every authority, the one that God has lifted above everything, everyone in heaven, on earth, and even under the earth, that one was hung on nails. So Paul tells us, I think, four things. Then I'm going to leave you alone. He tells us that Jesus is supreme creator. That same supreme creator was also humble servant. And that same supreme creator, humble servant, is risen conqueror. And then finally, that supreme creator, humble servant, and risen conqueror is the eternal King.